20, 30, cuts midfield, 40. The kicker to beat, see you later.
And the 40, and the 30, look at him go. 20, 10, DTR to the house.
Here comes Donald, and he spins Burrow around and then trying to throw it away.
TDLB, Raiders in the end zone. The Raiders have a touchdown.
This is LA Football Mondays, talking all things LA football with Rams Hall of Famer Eric Dickerson.
Eric Dickerson.
LA Football Mondays is brought to you by the Ford F-150 truck with an available interior work surface and 12-inch touchscreen. It's built tough. Visit your local Southern California dealer to test drive one today. And now, here's Fred Rogan, Rodney Pete, and Eric Dickerson.
And we continue on. Rob Parker in today for Rodney. Giving away norms this hour. Giving away pro flowers this hour. And listener haiku. If you'd like to contribute, we would love you to as we come back from Thanksgiving. 866-987-2570. A listener calls and contributes a haiku to pay honor and tribute to Vic, who is recovering, who is better, and who is now texting most of us on a daily basis. And that is great news. I can't tell you when he'll be back. But he has assured me as soon as he feels up to coming out and talking, he's going to do that. So we would appreciate a listener haiku. All right, I'm going to tell you the Eddie DeBartolo story. So the 49ers win the Super Bowl. I don't know, Rob, have I ever told you the Eddie DeBartolo?
No, I don't know this story.
Okay. 49ers beat, I think, Cincinnati in Miami to win a Super Bowl.
Was this
Bowl.
Before or after he went to prison? Oh, no, go ahead.
This is before.
There you go. Bad luck, Slap Rock. Wowsy, wowsy, woo woo. That's him right there. go ahead.
All right, NBC had the game. I'm not going to belabor you with the details of everything, but it's long before you had the network post-game show and all these things, and we would do a local show on Channel 4 after events. And it's when we took Tommy Lasorda. Yeah. We took Tommy Lasorda to Miami to do the post-game football show with
me. What?
So before, yeah. Before the game starts, this Channel 4 has sold this giant post-game show for a lot of money. And we have to do it from the locker room. But we have no ability to get in the locker room. None. So they've sold this show. And I don't have any credentials to get into the locker room. So now I'm getting worried as we're getting close here. Mm-hmm. They kick, and I still can't get into the locker room. And I'm sweating, and I'm really disturbed because we're going to be in a lot of trouble if we can't do this show from the locker room. Today it would never happen. Ever, ever, ever. It's changed. No. But then you could try to pull it off. I run into a guy I know from NBC Sports. I said, look, I got a problem. We got to do this post-game show. I've got to have credentials that get me into the locker room. He goes, well, how many do you need? I said, well, I need four. One, two, three, four. I need five. Five. He gives me this little sticker with a Super Bowl trophy on it. He turns my credential over, and he pastes it on the back, and he goes, now you're good to go. You have locker room access at any point. I'm thinking, oh, okay. Well, now let's just figure out what happens. So we don't want to go in there too soon because we're afraid we'll get thrown out. And I mean, the game is over. 5 minutes later, we're going to be on. The 49ers win. As they're coming off the field, our cameraman goes in to the locker room to get set up. Now, understand, this would never happen today. So he goes in, pulls his cables in. Nobody knows what he's doing, but he's got this sticker so we can get in there. They think it's the network guy, but it's us in Los Angeles. He sneaks in. Okay. Now the players are coming in. I try to blend in and walk in with them, and so does my producer. We're in the locker room.
And nobody stopped you. If that was me, they would have stopped me.
Right. Nobody has stopped us. We're in the locker room. They're doing the prayer. My producer gets down and holds two players' hands, and he's in the prayer
What?
Circle. This is true. I swear this is true.
This wouldn't happen today.
Then everybody starts celebrating and going crazy, right? And there's Eddie DeBartolo. He's hugging everybody. One guy for the 49ers is swinging his helmet around, and he conks Eddie DeBartolo in the head.
What?
Conks him right in the head. DeBartolo is stunned, and he's shaken up. He almost goes down, but he recovers, and he looks around, and he's trying to get his senses, and he sees me. He sees me, but he is so disoriented from what happened. He looks at me, And he goes, "Hey, Marv, it's good to see you." He thought I was Marv Albert, and I was in the locker room after the game.
And what'd you say? Good to see you?
And good to see you, Eddie.
You said, yes, and right. It counts.
Right. So at that point, now we're going to go on the air.
Marv.
We bring Lasorda in. So it's me and Tommy Lasorda, and we're standing next to this platform in the locker room. Now, Tommy doesn't know what he's doing, by the way. And he doesn't know what to say.
What? Why is he there?
Because we had done a post-game show after the Dodgers were in the World Series and the numbers were so good.
Yeah, but it's just ridiculous.
The general manager said, take him. And I said, but if we take him, John, don't you think that will affect my credibility? And he says to me, what credibility?
Well, you don't have any credibility.
All right. So Lasorda walks into the locker room, and now it's a spectacle.
They're like, Tommy, right? They're going crazy, right?
Right. The 49ers are celebrating. Lasorda's standing next to me. Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley walk up. He looks at Christie Brinkley and smiles. And he says to Billy Joel, hey, Joel, I love your music. He doesn't even call him Billy Joel. He thought his name was Joel. So at this point, I'm backing out of the shot now. I give him the mic and back out because I'm not going to be standing here for this stuff. So now here's Joe Montana. And this is the moment. We're getting him live in our post-game show. You want to know what Lasorda says to Joe Montana? He says, Joe, you're Italian, I'm Italian. It's a great day. I was like, oh, Tommy, my God, no. No. No.
It's a great day?
It's a great day.
It's a great day.
You're Italian, I'm Italian. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, dear God,
and what did Joe Montana, well, he had to be nice because it was Tommy Lasorda.
He just looked at him. Honestly, he just kind of looked at him in kind of a puzzled way.
Joe's so cool. He's like,
cool Joe, cool no Joe. Doubt.
So cool. This thing is going on now. And I am like hyperventilating off camera. I'm thinking, oh my God, we are going to get just destroyed for doing this. I call the general manager. I call him at his house in a commercial break.
You panicked.
He's having a party. Right. I panicked and I was going, oh my God. You know, hey, I'm calling to say, he goes, this is the best thing we've ever had on the air.
Oh,
you know
God.
What he said? Keep going. Don't stop. Don't. Cut into 60 minutes.
What?
Just keep going.
Oh, is that good?
Oh, my God.
Fred, this is my idea. This is my idea.
Unbelievable.
All right. I want to tell you one more story. This happened last week, so I want to mention this guy's name, Justin Engelman. And you go, who is Justin Engelman? Chapman was playing basketball at West Coast Baptist. Kevin, I haven't even told you this, but you'll remember it. And I'm listening to the PA announcer. And this guy sounds like he could be announcing at Crypto.com Arena.
He's that good, huh?
He was spectacular.
Okay.
I mean, he was so good. So at halftime, I go up to the guy. And I just walked up and said, I got to tell you what, man, you are terrific. You could be doing this professional. You're really good. He goes, oh, thank you. He goes, oh, what? Fred. I went, yeah, nice to meet you and everything. He goes, you know, and Kevin, you tell me if you remember this. A couple of years ago, the Dodgers were in the World Series. And Rich Hill is pitching for the Dodgers. And we needed Rich Hill to have a great game. So we did a segment, a caller segment called Prayers for the Bishop.
I remember this vividly, yes.
Call up
right.
And say a prayer for the bishop. And whoever does the best prayer is going to win tickets to the game.
And it was that guy?
This guy?
Justin Engelman won the ticket.
Wow.
Really?
He told me about it. I go, oh my God, I remember we did that. Prayers for the bishop.
Wow.
He was the guy that did the prayer that won the tickets to go to the game. And I think that's when Dave Roberts took the bishop out.
The infamous.
Yes.
Yes. That's when he was pitching.
The miscommunication on
I
the
think
mound.
So.
Yes.
Yeah. But that was the game. Isn't that cool?
That's pretty
cool.
Sweet.
Yeah. That is a great story.
Yeah. Justin Engelman.
So is Justin Engelman doing any football, basketball, baseball?
No, he's just working out at West Coast Baptist. I think, and I don't want to, I think he told me he was like a bishop, a real bishop or something.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And he works at the school, but he's their PA announcer, and he is terrific. If anybody needs a PA announcer, I'd call West Coast Baptist and ask for Justin Engelman.
I'll call the Vatican. Maybe he can get a job there as the PA announcer.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Like the time my kids were in Catholic school and we went to the Vatican, and I said to the principal of the Catholic school, I've told the story. I said to the principal of the Catholic school,
I can't believe you did this.
Yeah, we're going to the Vatican. She goes, oh, yeah. And, you know, when I got in there, I didn't think the kids would get in because I was Jewish.
Right.
But that wasn't a problem. We got in. all you had to do was go to services mm-hmm. on Sundays. And, you know, they want you to contribute when they pass the plate.
Sure.
I said, okay, how much do people normally contribute in a year? And she said, well, $500 in a year? Yeah. I'll write you a check for $750. That's the advantage of having a Jewish person in the church. So you get the money up front.
That's,
so now we're in.
Wait. Stop. You wrote a check for $700?
Oh, yeah.
Did it cash?
Last thing to say, it probably bounced all the way back to L.A.
Hey, I can't be responsible for that.
He probably called right. Hey, cancel this check.
Right. Can you stop payment? Stop payment on that check.
So now we're going to the Vatican. So I call the principal of the school, Mary Beth, and I go, hey, we're going to the Vatican. I think it'll be great. Really excited. Can you do me a favor? And I really didn't know this, by the way. Mm-hmm. I said, can you do me a favor? She goes, what's that? I said, can you set up a time where we can see the Pope? And she goes, what are you talking about? I said, we're going to the Vatican. We're taking a trip. And, you know, can you set up an appointment to see the Pope? And she said, why would you ask that? I said, well, you're a Catholic school. The Pope is Catholic.
Right.
It all kind of runs through his office. I mean, doesn't he take appointments with people? And I was dead serious.
I believe you.
I'm sure he does meet with people if they pay.
He didn't meet with me.
Not with Fred, but $700.
Right. Fred, that ain't going to get it done. But I'm sure, matter of fact, when my wife and I went to Italy and went to Rome, he was there. He was there and had a service. We were outside the Vatican. It was outside, but we were there when the Pope was there.
Yeah, so. I couldn't meet him, but I really thought it was that simple. I mean, if your kids go to Catholic school.
I mean, I've been to the Vatican. I mean, it is gorgeous. I mean, you know, it is like, wow. I mean,
it is a wow.
It really is.
It really is. It's wow. I mean, they've got their...
It's their own city.
Right. They're their own entity. They got their own police, you know, on that ground. Nothing. It's all separate from outside of it. I mean, how'd they get all that gold? I mean, they must took gold from everywhere. I mean, they must stole everybody's gold. Like everything. Because I asked, is that all gold?
Oh, remember, they didn't steal it, though, E.D. They borrowed it.
That's what they call. No, you know what they call, you know, when you're white, you call you a thief. They don't call you a thief. They call you embezzler. Embezzlement. I mean, that's a thief. Right. He's nothing but a thief. It's a fancy word for saying thief.
Right.
He's an embezzler.
What you took. How you got it.
Right.
I mean, it is so much. I'm like, because I didn't believe. I'm like, it's all this gold. And he said, all of it. It is a beautiful, beautiful place. I mean.
Don't you feel when you go in there just alive?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I don't feel alive. I'm not Catholic. I'm not nothing to do with
that. I'm not either, but I thought, wow.
I just feel like I said there's a bunch of crooked stuff going on around here. That's how I feel. Bunch of crooked stuff going on around here.
No.
And nothing about, you know, but I'm just saying. But, I mean, the places. I was really, really impressed. I mean, because we had a tour guide.
Yeah.
And this lady was she knew everything.
Right.
I mean, it was I think that's what made the trip so good. When you got somebody that knows, they can tell you with this and that and that. Like, she told us, like, do you know, like, in Rome, like the statues, like all the, you know, the statues. You know, a lot of statues are like white,
right?
They really weren't white before. They were all painted. They had color. All of them had color. And I've forgotten, like, in the 1700s, they thought that they would, like, it was a mockery or something. So they basically kind of acid washed them.
Right.
And since acid washed them out and made them all white. And I didn't know that either. She says very few. She says very few you find, because we were something that it was painted. You know, and I'm like, you know, the color on it was like, wow. It was just like, wow. I said, why aren't all of them, like you said, they and I won't say acid. I'm just saying acid washed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they acid washed them and they knew they messed up later, but they couldn't restore them.
That's crazy.
History is something. I mean, you go there and look at the history they have in like Rome and Italy and Egypt. It is like,
it's incredible that it was preserved. You know,
that's the thing. It's incredible.
That's the thing that I can't believe. Like, you know, people are always trying to change stuff and you know, and replace it or whatever. Like, how did they were smart enough to say, no, we can't touch this, we can't touch that. You know, like, and you have all that. When you go to Egypt, I don't know if any of you guys have been to Egypt, and you see these pyramids and you see these palaces that were built and all the stuff inside of it and the paintings, it's just mind-boggling. It's just simply mind-boggling.
It is. Matter of fact, I went to, you been to Israel before?
Yes, I have.
No.
Oh, man, you know, that's
right. You haven't been yet?
No.
I floated in the Dead Sea, and I went to Masada. Oh, it was unbelievable.
You need to. That is a matter of fact, when we were there, they had just found King David's palace about 5 years earlier. And it was a lady archaeologist. She said, because the lady told us a story. They told us a story. That lady walked into a library and said, they need to move this library. It said, King David's palace is underneath this library. And it was a big kadoo. Like, oh, it can't be. And sure enough, she was right. And
they dug down and found it.
They dug down and found it. It was a trip because on a coin, it has, you know, his face on a coin. And it was one of the entryways. They had his symbol on the entryway with his face on that coin. It was so interesting. But I think the most interesting thing was is that the walls in the palace were 16 feet thick. So you couldn't, wasn't no ear dropping.
Right. You couldn't hear nothing.
Wasn't no ear dropping in that. I'm like 16 feet. Say 16 feet thick. That's how I think the walls were.
And that would prevent any attack.
I guess, and that's why he's King David.
That's why he's King David.
Yeah, that's fascinating. Those kind of things. I've just seen so many. I've been a world traveler. I love to just see history and all that.
Yeah, but you never saw Nelson Mandela.
No, I did not.
I did.
Did you really?
I saw him
when
in
he was
Sydney,
in L.A.
Australia.
Really?
I saw him in Sydney, Australia. He was holding a koala.
Did you meet him or you just saw him?
No, I went up to him.
Did you have a $700 check in your hand?
No, I did not.
Got 700 for you. Hey, Nelson, I got 700 for you. I got 700.
I remember Nelson Mandela said to you, Fred, I never miss you on KNBC. Yeah, I never watch you, so I never miss you. Right. There you go.
Right. All right, we need our listener haiku. We need some spirituality.
All right.
And who better to provide this than a daily listener who listens on the app and calls long distance, although I don't think it costs any more now, no matter where you call from. It is our friend Angela in Honolulu. Angela, good afternoon.
Aloha, gentlemen.
Hello,
Aloha.
Angela.
Aloha. I just left Hawaii this morning. I just got back.
I know that, Ed. That's kind of messed up because I tried to call Kevin to have him give you my number because I was going to buy you guys some dinner.
Dang, Kevin. You messed up my free dinner, dog.
Messed up the free meal, Kev. You know, don't mess with that.
Yeah. See, Kev ain't saying nothing.
Sorry, Ed. Okay. I'll take you to Norm's today if you want.
I go to Norm's.
We got the hookup. So.
I go to Norm's. I'd rather have a free dinner in Hawaii, though.
Yeah. And you get to take $9.99 ribs back home with you. You know what I'm saying?
The best.
All right. Well, the other piece of information before I get to the haiku is, you know, Brad was dissing on all this kind of food people eat, and because he's kind of uppity. But
yep.
What I do know, Fred, is in the joy of cooking, the Rombauer Becker, Joy of Cooking,
okay,
on page 513, they're talking all about rabbit. You flip the page, they're talking about squirrels, possums, porcupine, raccoon, wild boar, muskrat, beaver, woodchuck, beaver tail.
There it is.
How much food could a woodchuck chuck if Fred could eat some chuck?
Okay, now listen. Angela.
No, for real, Fred.
No,
it's in the joy of cooking.
No, I hear you, and there's a reason it's on page 513, because no one expects anybody to go that far in the book, right?
That's not true.
That if you're dying, you cook.
A porcupine? What kind of meal is that?
No, the joy of cooking, you know? That's like the Bible of cooking.
Okay.
They got brains, sauteed brains.
See, squirrel brains. Squirrel brains and scrambled eggs.
You could have that, yeah. Okay.
They don't talk about eating humans, though, do they? You can't cook a human.
You can, but you shouldn't.
No, man. Come on, Fred. What? Maybe.
Fred, Mike.
No, man.
You're saying there's a book 500, 600 pages long about cooking, and you're getting to this kind of stuff. I'm wondering, can they cook anything?
No, the book is 800. The book is 900-something pages, Fred.
Wow.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay.
It's the joy of cooking. It's the Bible of cooking.
I understand.
What page is peanut butter and jelly on? What page is that?
That didn't make the page.
Oh, okay.
All right, Angela.
And you know, Rob Parker, when you talk about all your traveling you do and everything.
Yes.
Right in my head. In my head goes to all them draws you left in all them damn hotel rooms.
That's right. Hey, Ed, I take my clothes that I don't want anymore, and when I go on a trip, I leave them in the hotel. So that's how I travel. So I don't
Did you know that, Eric?
No, I didn't know that.
So I don't have to pay extra to bring my bag back.
Don't wash, He don't wash no drawers.
So wait. So you leave all your underwear, seriously?
I leave everything. Yeah, I bring clothes. Like I'm.
Yeah, he's a brand new. He buys some brand new tighty whitey, some brand new V8s.
I did not know that.
Yes.
Why?
That's my little thing. Cause I don't want to like. I don't want to pay extra for like a bag. So if I'm gonna be on a trip. Sometimes I might wear three shirts on a trip, you know, on the plane, ED, and then I'll take them off once I get on the plane.
He's telling the truth.
Really?
And put them in a plastic bag.
And do well with them. Just...
No, and then I'll take them for the trip, but I'm not paying for a bag. I like to fly a discount.
He just leaves it in the room.
Yes.
Rob, you might be
I leave a note for the... For
you
the,
might be cheaper than Fred.
That's what I leave a note for the maid.
You might be cheaper than Fred. Wow.
Eric, see, now if you was at the free dinner with me at the Elks Club or wherever, dang, I could have told you all
I
this.
I knew all this.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, maybe, you know, Angela, next time Eric goes, you know, you can call Kevin. And,
which will be next week because, you know, he lives like that. He got that kind of life.
Well, he better get back on out here before that guy sells that house.
I know. My friend got that house out there.
I just saw pictures of that house.
That house is beautiful.
Yeah, it's incredible.
My guy, Richard Hamm, beautiful house.
It is incredible. All right.
After them stories, I was getting ready to kill one of the geese up on top of here and flop it down over there to Kahala.
Okay. All right. All right. Now, before we get to the haiku, we need a retro haiku from Vic.
The black eyes of whitefish open in the net of Dharma. I'm feeling you. Basho.
Solid Basho work for Basho today.
Basho.
The black eyes, whitefish, open in the net. Yes, they're caught. And they're probably wondering what the hell's going on. So I think, yeah, that would be enough to go, what? And your eyes open wide. A very good observation from Basho. But now, Angela, do you have the haiku prepared for today?
I absolutely do.
Have you worked on this for a while?
No, I know about it from living in the islands.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Start the music. And now, with the Daily Haiku, we welcome on Angela. And Angela, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Fred.
Hello, Angela.
Good afternoon, Rob.
Good afternoon.
Aloha, Eric.
Aloha, Angela.
Aloha, Kevin.
Aloha, Angela.
Aloha, Ronnie.
Aloha, Angela.
That wasn't necessary.
Dang, that just brought back some hillbilly stuff.
Uh-oh. Yeah, that's true. Sorry, Angela. My bad.
Okay. Here's the haiku. Never cease to act because you fear you may fail. Queen Liliuokalani, 1917. I'm feeling you.
I like that.
There we go.
I like that.
Angela brought it to
me. I like that, Angela.
That's Queen Liliuokalani said that.
Hey.
But I think Brandon Staley has been listening to that haiku every night.
Okay. Angela's doing the comedy.
Doing the damn
thing. I know. I think she wants to be on Carson. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's not going to
happen. That's not going to happen.
All right, Angela, thank you. You were terrific as always. Aloha to you.
That joke was as crusty as his drawers.
Jesus, Angela.
All right.
All right, who's going?
Norm!
866-987-2570. Bring on the T-Bones and join Norm's 3/4-pound T-bone steak and eggs, hash browns, and 2 buttermilk hotcakes. Only $15.99. Visit any Norm's restaurant or order online at norms.com.
Norm!
866-987-2570. Let's do caller number 6.
Together, all right, we can make things happen.
Presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. This is LA Football Mondays. Visit buyfordnow.com. Now, here's Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete.
AM 570 LA Sports.
right, Kevin, we got to... Okay, Dan in La Habra, way to go.
Norms!
You've done it. A $50 gift card to Norms. Norms all-day breakfast value is here. Enjoy Norms 321 Breakfast. Only $8.99. Order at norms.com. We're just sitting here, Rob. Aaron Rodgers walked off last night. He's got ribs, suffered the injury. Jordan Love went in. I mean, this is a point in the season for the Rams. Of course, they really don't have to look at who their backup could be for the future because he's not that guy.
Right.
But for the Packers, Jordan Love, I mean, look, if you're not in it anymore, maybe it's time, and fans will probably hate to hear me say it, maybe it's time to pull the plug and start looking down the road.
No, I don't think so, only from this standpoint. He had a fractured thumb most of the year that people really didn't know about, which says something about his accuracy, which is normally impeccable. I think if he was healthy and he had this kind of year, then I would agree with you. But if you're the Packers and you're locked into that kind of money that you can't really get out of, I don't think you're looking to anybody yet. And here's the other thing, too. And, ED, you could speak on this. If Jordan Love was that guy, they had a chance to trade Aaron Rodgers after they had drafted him and seen him, you know, when Denver wanted him. You remember that at the draft?
Yeah.
And that told me all I needed to know when they weren't ready to pull the trigger. And that was before he won the back-to-back MVP. So I don't think that an unhealthy Aaron Rodgers is the guy that you decide you're moving off of.
Well, first of all, Aaron Rodgers has nothing to work with. I don't think the Packers have ever really given him a lot to work with, even when they won the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm like, man, you could get more. It's almost like Aaron can do it. Right. He can do it. Jordan Love, no, he's not the answer. If this is one of those bad years, you're seeing, you know, the team is having a bad year.
Look at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's having a bad year. But if you take Aaron Rodgers away from that football team, they're going to be worse than the Rams. And we're bad. They're gonna be worse than us. I mean, they may win one game, if that. That's how vital he is to the Packers. I mean, I see it. People talk about, oh man, we should get rid of Aaron Rodgers. The Packer fans. I'm like, I said, don't do that. Don't do that. I mean, you know, the Rams tried to get him. They called about him first.
Sure.
That was the first guy they wanted, and the Packers were like, no, he's not up for trade. So, nah, you can't. It's not time yet. And you're right. If he's healthy and playing like this, it's different.
That's different, right? Different.
But you're talking about the quarterback with a fractured thumb, you know, and he's got cracked ribs, or hurt ribs. It's like a running back with a bad knee. You know, how you expect him to be great, or you know, a pitcher with a bad shoulder,
right? Yeah. And you know what, Fred? Without our thumbs, we're just like the monkeys. You know what I mean? We need our thumbs. That's what separates us.
Where's my pen? I'm gonna write that down.
I'm gonna
put it in ink. We're like monkeys.
We're like monkeys.
I've never really considered it that way.
This is what changes us. We can hold a bat, ED. A monkey can't hold a bat. He don't have a thumb.
Monkey can hold a bat.
You can't throw a football without a thumb.
A monkey's strong, though, boy.
Wait a minute.
Might grab that bat with them four fingers.
Wait. We have an update. Kevin?
Last I checked, Rob, monkeys do have thumbs.
I thought monkeys had thumbs. I'm like,
what thumbs? They don't have thumbs, do they? They just have eight fingers.
They have five digits just like we do.
Do they?
I thought they had thumbs. I'm like, Rob, I'm like, what you, okay.
What thumbs? Where'd
you come up with that?
I thought that's what separates us from the monkeys, no? What?
The fur.
Do they have the fur the size of our brains and many other things, but not the hands.
For sure, as you can see.
Oh yeah!
Wait a minute! Didn't you watch Planet of the Apes?
Man,
I mean, come
man,
on!
Man, that wasn't real monkeys.
That was real.
Do they have thumbs? I didn't think they had thumbs.
Look on your phone and Google monkeys.
I'm gonna check it out. I'm gonna look it out.
Look at it, Kevin. I think already looked at it, Rob. But yep. You're more than welcome to do it yourself.
Can you imagine a gorilla with a bat? Oof. Hit you with a bat.
Wow!
You know, you thinking about Aaron Rodgers, and then it got me to thinking about Tom Brady. These guys that are continuing to play, they're older, right? The Packers have no chance to win. We know that. No. They probably didn't have much of a chance when they kicked the ball off opening Sunday. I said, Rob, on your national radio show, that Tampa wasn't going to win this year.
Right.
And I remember people calling, why would you say that? Because I pretty much felt that. You got these guys older playing, really no shot to win. Is that still fulfilling to go out and get your brains beat out after you've been at the top of the mountain?
Now, you heard me say this, and I'll say it again, Fred. A sport that you love to play, baseball, basketball, no matter what it is, you can't replace it. You can't. It's like, let me ask you, don't you love doing what you do?
I do.
You love it. You love it, don't you?
Yeah.
Same thing with sports. When you play football, no matter if you do get your brains beat out, if you still have a love for the sport, it's nothing going to replace it. It's nothing as he's going to ever do. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Matt Stafford. It's nothing going to take the place of playing that sport. Nothing. I don't care if he can make $1 trillion doing it. If you go back and say, you know, I'll pay you $500,000 to play football again, be young. I'll take that all day. Because you love it that much. It's something you played as a kid. You did it as a kid. And in a sense, you almost hate to see yourself get older, but that's just the facts of life. You do get older. And that's how it is. But it's hard to give it up.
Yeah, but...
And you play at a high level still. You're still playing at a high... It's different if you playing like, man, he terrible. Why is he even out there? My God!
Yeah, it's easier to retire once you get to that stage. Yeah, but it is harder when you're still better than a lot of the quarterbacks in the league.
90%
right?
of them. 90% of them.
Yeah, but is it a situation where, okay, and thankfully for those two guys, you had your run, you won. You did it. You got to the top of the mountain. Be thankful for that. There's a point, though, I don't know, just as an observer of diminishing
returns.
To me,
I think it's Tom Brady, who's played for way longer than most football players, right? 22 years, is that what it is? 22?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, for him, and then his whole personal life, you know, ED with the wife and the family, like, he had way, way more in the situation, especially since he can't enhance his resume or legacy anymore. Like, he's the one to me.
There's nothing else he can do.
Right?
Man, he's going to win a Super Bowl?
Right.
I'm winning a double Super Bowl. No, there's nothing else he can do.
No, only thing he could do is get his leg broken.
That's
you
it.
Know?
Get somebody to end his career. That's the only thing that happened today. And like, just like a Joe Theismann did with Lawrence Taylor. Like, wow. And people remember that. Like, whoa.
I remember watching that on Monday Night Football.
Oh, it was ugly.
Yep. A lot of people, that's all they remember about Joe Theismann is Lawrence Taylor, you know, snapping his leg.
Yeah.
But... yeah, I'm telling you, it's hard to give up something that you love so much, and it really is. I mean, I still remember when I first started playing professional football. Man, I love that sport so much. I mean, I love practice. I hated the meetings, but man, I couldn't wait to get on the field and just practice. I mean, somebody had some of my best moves in practice. And then it gets to a point, especially for a running back, you get to a point where you're more best back, and you see the ugly part of it. Like, man, and they made me hate a sport that I love so much. And I hear so many guys like me say the same thing. Man, they made me hate the sport that I love so much.
Why? How'd they make you hate it?
The BS along with it. You know, the politics.
Yeah, the politics. Because whenever people are involved, there are politics. And you know what? It's just not football. Fred knows this from the TV business. I'll tell you that from the newspaper business. If you work in a church, there are politics because people are involved, and that is what makes you dislike it. I agree with that.
That's it. I mean,
like, you see people make decisions, Fred. People are getting hired and moved up, and you're like, what? Like, they're not even half as good as I am.
There you go. Then
right?
You're like, how did he get that job? I mean, he kissed. How much ass did he kiss?
Right.
I mean, you're like, and you see him doing it, and you just can't. It's just like, it just frustrates you. Like, how in the heck did he become a general manager? How in the heck did he become a head coach? You know, and that, you know, it's just like the politics. And the same thing, you know, putting players in front of you. You know, it's just the politics, and it makes you hate the game.
You know what?
It's not the game's fault.
That's why Jeff Saturday being hired as a head coach is something that I know a lot of players, ex-players, are like pushing for because they want to skip the line. But I just feel bad for all the guys, ED, who put in all the work, you know, and they tell you got to be a coordinator, you got to do this, you got to do that. And even on the Colts, Reggie Wayne is sitting there, right, played on that team, won a Super Bowl, played 14 years. He's a coach on the staff, and they jump over him for Jeff Saturday. I wouldn't feel good about it.
I mean, you can't feel good about that. I mean, look, like we said, you know, we're Passover. We are the Passovers. You know, they pass over us all the time. And just like I say in my book, my mother would say, son, it's different for you. You black. And, you know, and sometimes, you know, and I don't play the race card. I play the truth card. It's the truth. It's nothing about, the truth is not always pretty. It's not always popular, but it's the truth. And the minute, you know this, Rod, the minute we start saying it, Black, we're angry. We're not angry. I'm not angry. I mean, look, Jeff, it's not Jeff Saturday's fault.
No, we're not blaming Jeff. I would take the job too if I was Jeff Saturday.
It's like I said.
Would you, Fred?
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. I mean, it's like, I tell you, like the white reporter said to me, he said, Eric, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, NFL is what, 80% black? I said, yeah. He said, now you're going to hear me say this. He said, you probably know I'm white. I said, yeah, I can tell you on the phone. He said, something, yeah. He said, if the NFL was 80% white, y'all would have a good pension and y'all would have health care. He said, I'm saying that. I said, well, you see, he said, I know it. And that this is a white guy saying it. He knows.
That's interesting.
He knows. But if we say it, oh, you guys complain, so all you do is complain. No, it's just, it's the facts. And it's not, I'm not playing, oh, woe is me. No, it's not about that. It's just, it's like when I see a man take a job that the woman is more qualified for. I don't care if she's a woman. She's more qualified for that job.
Right.
You know, she's a better fit for the job. She's a better leader. But they give to me, I'm like, it's just wrong is what it is.
No. So that reporter, wow, that was very insightful.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was a trip when he said it to me. He said, you're going to buy it. And I was shocked when he said it.
I bet
but
you were.
It was shocking, but you know.
But you, as you already know, come on, E.D., that pension and your plan is the worst. With all the money the league makes, it's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing. It's embarrassing.
Me and Fred were talking about health care earlier today. I say, you know, as a player, when you retire, we have no health care. Like, I have health care so I can afford to pay for it, but it's expensive. You know, a lot of guys have no health care. I mean,
and in Major League Baseball,
you play
one day on a team, and you're included in their pension plan. And then if you play, I don't know what it is, 31 days, Eric. If you play 31 days in the big league, you get health care. They have lifetime health care, Fred.
No,
baseball player, no. Lifetime.
If you're on the roster for one day, I think you get health care for 5 years. If you're on the roster for one day, but now if you're on the roster for like a month, you get it for the rest of your life.
Right.
And they your kids get it. I mean, I was like, because I asked some baseball, I was just shocked. But the thing with the NFL is, and I said this to you earlier, Fred, off the air. You'll be surprised how cowardly the players are, the ex-player. They're a bunch of cowards. They really are. They're like, oh, those guys are billionaires. I'm like, hey, man, you know, it is what it is. So, you know, I try to take care of myself.
Yeah.
That's it. And I'm not trying to, we're not trying to have no down moments, but, you know, hey.
It's called enlightening. It's a good conversation.
Yep. Yeah.
It is. It's like enlightening.
All right, who wants to win Pro Flowers? 866-987-2570. Caller number four gets the Pro Flowers. Our visits with Eric brought to you by the Ford F-150. Combine toughness and intelligence. Test drive one at your local Southern California Ford dealership today.
AM 570, LA Sports.
From the Rams to the Raiders to the Chargers, this is LA Football Mondays on AM 570 LA Sports. Eric Dickerson, Fred Rogan, and Rodney Peete are presented by your Southern California Ford dealers. Visit buyfordnow.com.
Thank you for being a friend.
Ron and San Dimas. We here at AM 570 LA Sports want to say thank you to all of our listeners for your support this year. As a special gift to you, you did it, you won it, we're giving you a $100 gift card to Pro Flowers. We're giving them away every day through the month of November. Pro Flowers, the official florist of AM 570 LA Sports. Ronnie, great job. Thank you. Kevin, terrific as always. Appreciate it. Rob, thanks for sitting in today.
Always. We'll see you later on in the week, right? Thursday and Friday.
You got it. And E.D., have a great week.
Have a good week. To live in town, L.A.